I've been trying to finish up a sermon series on Sunday night from Hebrews 11. I've not been very successful, so I'm kicking into Sunday morning here. Let's see if we can't wrap this thing up. We've been talking about the great heroes of the faith, which are listed in Hebrews chapter 11, beginning with Abel, and Enoch, and Noah, and Abraham, and the whole list there. Today we come to verse 20. We speak about Isaac, one of the patriarchs of the Jewish nation. The word patriarch means a father ruler. It comes from a word patri, which means father, and ark, which means ruler. And Abraham and Isaac and Jacob were the patriarchs of the Jewish nation. But in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 20, we read, "By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future." Now, I can understand why the Lord would include the names of people like Moses and Joseph and David and others in this listing of the heroes of the faith found in Hebrews chapter 11. But it's a little bit difficult for me to understand why this man's Isaac has his name listed here. But God has his reasons, and though it may appear to us to be a rather strange inclusion of listing of names of the heroes of the faith, nevertheless, Isaac's name is found here. And so today I want us to now to go to Genesis chapter 25 as we think of Isaac, who had a faith for the future. The Bible says that he blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. And so as we think of Isaac, faith for the future, let us go to Genesis 25. And as we turn to Genesis 25, I want us to think first of all about Isaac's future. And then secondly, I want us to consider Isaac's folly. And then finally, Isaac's faith. But Genesis chapter 25, and look there in verse 21. Genesis chapter 25, verse 21. Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was barren. The Lord answered his prayer, and his wife Rebekah became pregnant. The babies jostled each other within her, and she said, "Why is this happening to me?" These babies, these twins inside the womb of Rebekah, the wife of Isaac, were at odds with one another even before birth. And the scripture says she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord gave her an answer. Look in verse 23. This is what the Lord said to Rebekah. "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger." And so we find even before these two twin boys were born, that the older would be the servant to the younger. Now, when you think of twins, you don't think of one as being older than the other. You think of them being born on the same day, and of course they are. But nevertheless, one is born first, though it may be just a matter of a few minutes. Esau was older than Isaac, but before birth, the Lord said to their mother that the older, Esau, will be the servant to the younger, Jacob. And so God had a plan. God had a plan for Isaac to make him one of the fathers of the great nation, the Jewish nation, through whom would come the scriptures and the Savior. And this was all a part of God's plan. Now, we want to come back to Genesis in just a moment, but now turn over to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. And there in verses 10 through 13, we find further explanation of what God was doing way back in ancient times during the lifetime of Isaac. Romans chapter 9. Now, look there in verse 10. "Not only that, but Rebekah's children had one and the same father, our father, Isaac. Yet before the twins were born, or had done anything good or bad, in order that God's purpose in election might stand, not by works but by him who calls, she was told, 'The older will serve the younger.' Just as it is written, 'Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated.'" And so the Apostle Paul, writing to the Roman church, says that God had a plan for his people all the way back to the time of Isaac. And it was God's plan that Jacob, the younger, would be the child through whom the Messiah would come. You would normally think it would be the older child, Isaac, but no, God had determined by his own sovereign plan that Jacob would be the son through whom the Messiah would come. Now, when you come to a place like Romans chapter 9 or Genesis chapter 25, as that may be, you come to passages of Scripture which deal with divine election and the foreknowledge of God and the sovereign plan and purpose of God. And we tend to wrinkle our brows and scratch our heads and say, well, you know, how can that be? I don't understand how all that fits in with the free will of man. Well, I want you to know that I'm not sure we can fully understand what the Scripture says about divine election, but we must affirm that the Bible is very clear that God does have a divine plan and that God is working in human history to bring all of time and all of space and all of history to a great climax. And God has an overriding plan for mankind. And God had a plan for the Jewish people, and it was God's intention all along in eternity past that the Messiah would come not through Esau, the elder, but through Jacob, the younger. Now, man proposes, but God disposes. And man rules, but God overrules. That's just the way God is at work. It may be like you and I get on one of these jumbo jetliners to fly across the ocean. And while we're making the flight, up there in the cockpit is the pilot and the co-pilot and the navigator. And they're taking that jumbo jetliner from one side of the Atlantic Ocean to the other. Maybe from New York City to Paris, France. Now, while we're on the flight, we have a lot of free will we can exercise. We can choose to sit or stand. We can choose to sleep or pray. We can choose to walk around, or we can choose to eat or not to eat. We can choose whatever we want to do. But all the while, the crew in the cockpit is taking that plane to a certain destination. And when it comes to the course of human history, God is at work. History is not just chaotic. It's not out of control. And God is using all the circumstances of this generation and every generation to take us to the end of the age when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back and He is recognized as King of Kings. God the Father is the pilot and Jesus the Son is the co-pilot and the Holy Spirit is the navigator. So we want to recognize and confess today the sovereignty of God and that God's ultimate plan will not be thwarted. It doesn't matter what the secularists do. It doesn't matter what the atheists do. It doesn't matter what the Marxists do. God's plan will be fulfilled ultimately. He is sovereign. And history is moving toward a predetermined climax determined by God in heaven. And God had determined in eternity past that Isaac and Rebekah would have twin sons and Jacob the younger would be the father of the Israelites. And Esau, the older, would be the father of the Edomites. That was God's plan. And though Esau tried to blow it and change it, he could not do it. God is sovereign. And so we see here Isaac's future. And his future was to be carried out through Jacob and not through Esau. Now, secondly, I want you to see Isaac's folly. And let's go now to Genesis chapter 25. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 25 as we think about Isaac's folly. I mean, he did everything he knew to do as a carnal, sensual, fleshly man to blow what God was trying to do. Genesis 25, verse 24. When the time came for her, Rebekah, to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb. The first to come out was red, and his whole body was like a hairy garment, so they named him Esau. And after this, his brother came out with his hand grasping Esau's heel, so he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to them. So the twins were born. And they were as different physically as they could be. They were also very different in temperament. Verse 27 says, and the boys grew up, and Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the open country, while Jacob was a quiet man, staying among the tents. And Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Now these boys were different. They were different in physical appearance. They were different in their outlook. The Bible tells us that Esau was a man of the open country. He was an outdoorsman. He was a hunter. He smelled like all of outdoors. Maybe he had the smell of pine saw on him or something. Who knows? And Jacob was a mama's boy. He just sort of hung around his mother, tugging at her skirt. And he dwelt there among the tents. And the Bible says here in verse 28 that Isaac's favorite was Esau, and Rebekah's favorite was Jacob. Now Isaac favored Esau because Esau would bring him wild game. He would go out and shoot the wild animals and bring in the venison and gratify this sensual desire that Isaac had. And so that's why he was his favorite. Now, look in verse 29. Once when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country, famished. He said to Jacob, "Quick, let me have some of that red stew. I'm famished." That is why he was also called Edom. And Jacob replied, "First, sell me your birthright." And notice the conflict between these two twins. They were at loggerheads with one another. Verse 32, "Look, I'm about to die," Esau said. "What good is the birthright to me?" But Jacob said, "Swear to me first." So he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. And then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. He ate and drank, and so he got up and left. And so Isaac despised his birthright. That was the common practice of that day, that the firstborn would receive the birthright. He would also receive the blessing. And Esau, the firstborn, sold his birthright to his twin brother just for a bowl of soup, if you please, some stew. Now, with that in mind, let's turn over to chapter 27, because I want you to see how Isaac almost played the fool. God had said that the younger will serve the older. God had said that Jacob, not Esau, was to be the son of blessing. Well, that's exactly what happened. Jacob got the blessing. Now, he would have gotten it without all the conniving and all the trickery and all the scheming. But nevertheless, he was a deceitful person and he got it that way. Now look in chapter 27, verse 1. When Isaac was old and his eyes were so weak that he could no longer see, he called for Esau his son and he said to him, "My son, here I am," he answered. Isaac said, "I am now an old man, and I don't know the day of my death." Well, none of us knows the day of our death. Isaac may have thought he was about to die, but if you read on in the book of Genesis, you'll find out that Isaac lived quite a few years after this. Verse 3, "Now then, get your weapons, your quiver and bow, and go out to the open country to hunt for some wild game for me. Prepare me the kind of tasty food I like, and bring it to me to eat, so that I may give you my blessing before I die." Now, Isaac was determined to see that Esau was going to get the blessing. The Lord had told them that Jacob was to receive the blessing, but he was determined to give it to Esau. Verse 5 says, "And now Rebekah, the mother, was listening, and Isaac spoke to his son Esau. And when Isaac left for the open country to hunt game and bring it back, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, 'Look, I overheard your father say to your brother Esau, bring me some game and prepare me some tasty food to eat so that I may give you my blessing in the presence of the Lord before I die. Now, my son, listen carefully and do what I tell you. Go out to the flock and bring me two choice young goats so I can prepare some tasty food for your father just the way he likes it. And then take it to your father to eat so that he may give you his blessing before he dies.'" Do you see this treacherous mother and wife? And she's calling for her son Jacob to involve himself in deceit in order that he might receive a blessing. Verse 11, "Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, 'But my brother Esau is a hairy man, and I am a man with smooth skin. What if my father touches me? I would appear to be tricking him and bring down a curse on myself rather than a blessing.'" Jacob says, Dad can't see, but he can feel, and he's probably going to reach out and touch me. And my skin is not like the skin of my twin brother Esau. My skin is smooth like silk, and his skin is hairy like a wild animal. And he's going to be able to tell the difference just by touching. He won't be able to see and tell the difference, but when he touches, he will know that I'm not Esau, I'm Jacob. Well, old treacherous Rebecca had a plan for that. And look there in verse 13. His mother said to him, "My son, let the curse fall on me. Just do what I say. Go and get them for me." And so he went and he got them. And he brought them to his mother, and she prepared some tasty food just the way his father liked it. Now look here in verse 15. Then Rebekah took the best clothes of Esau, her older son, which he had in the house, and put them on her younger son, Jacob. She put some of Esau's clothes on Jacob. Verse 16, she also covered his hands and the smooth part of his neck with goat skin. And then she handed to her son Jacob the tasty food and the bread she had made. She took some goat skins and she said, "Lay these goat skins on your hand and on the back of your neck here so that if he touches you there, he'll think it's Esau." So that's what he did. And then she gave him the food and the bread she had made. And so he goes in to see his father. Verse 18 says, he went to his father and said, "My father." "Yes, my son," Isaac answered. "Who is it?" And Jacob said to his father, "I'm Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Please sit up and eat some of my game so that you may give me your blessing." Well, he's lying between his teeth, but nevertheless, there he is. And Isaac asks his son, "How did you find it so quickly, my son?" Isaac may have been on up in years, but he hadn't lost all of his marbles, and he had trouble believing that his son Esau could have gone out and found the wild game this quickly and brought it in. So he said, "How could you find this so quickly?" And the scripture says that Jacob replied, "The Lord your God gave me success." Verse 21 reads, "And then Isaac said to Jacob, 'Come near so I can touch you, my son, to know whether you really are my son Esau or not.' And Jacob went close to his father Isaac, who touched him and said, 'The voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau.' He did not recognize him, for his hands were hairy like those of his brother Esau. So he blessed him. 'Are you really my son Esau?' he asked. 'I am,' he replied. Then he said, 'My son, bring me some of your game to eat so that I may give you my blessing.' Jacob brought it to him, and he ate. He brought him some wine, and he drank. And then his father Isaac said to him, 'Come here, my son, and kiss me.' So he went to him and kissed him, and when Isaac caught the smell of the clothes, he blessed him and he said," now this is the blessing that Isaac gave to Jacob, "'Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you of heaven's dew and of earth's richness and abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you.'" You see that? "Be Lord over your brothers and over the sons of your mother, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed and those who bless you be blessed." Now, do you get the significance of what's taking place here? Jacob had been intended by God in heaven all along to receive the blessing. But he took matters into his own hands, he and his mother. He was not content to trust God to work it out. And so both Jacob and Rebekah are guilty of deceit. But poor Isaac is guilty of disobeying the Lord because Isaac was convinced that he was giving the blessing to Esau. Jacob had said, "I'm Esau," and Isaac thought he was blessing Esau when he had known all along before the twins were ever born that the blessing was not to go to Esau but to Jacob. Now you talk about a mixed up, confused family, but this crowd was. Now, where does the rub come in here? Simply this. Isaac was dominated by his feelings and not by revelation from God. Now that's where a lot of folks fail today. That's why so many Christians are up and down in their Christian experience. That's why they're burn hot and for Jesus for a while, and then they burn cold for a while. That's why you see them active and involved and serving for a while, and then they just back out for a while. They haven't learned the lesson that the Christian life is not by feelings, it's by faith. It's not by the emotions that we have surging within us or the absence of, but instead, it is by hearing from God, and then once God has spoken, by sheer faith, just holding on and trusting God and obeying the Lord. I wish it were possible for us always to feel a warm, tingling sensation in our heart toward the purpose and plan of God for our lives, but that's not always true. Sometimes we just have to go by sheer faith. And bless his heart, Isaac just hadn't learned that lesson. He was dominated by his feelings and not by the revelation which had come from God. You see, when you listen to your feelings instead of listening to God, you're always going to get in trouble. I want you to see this. Look here in verse 22. Jacob went close to his father Isaac, who touched him and said, "The voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau." Now what's the significance of that? He's saying, I'm going to trust what I feel and not what I hear. That's what I've been trying to drive at in the last 3 minutes. It's not a matter of what we feel, it's a matter of what God has spoken. And so, Isaac's mistake was, instead of obeying the revelation of God which had come, he was trusting his feelings, he was a carnal, sensual man, and he wanted to give the blessing to Esau in spite of the fact that God had said long ago that the blessing was to go to Jacob, and Jacob was to be the one through whom the Messiah would come. And so he thinks he's given the blessing to Esau when instead he's given it to Jacob. Now look down in verse 30. And after Isaac had finished blessing him and Jacob had scarcely left his father's presence, his brother Esau came in from hunting. He too prepared some tasty food and he brought it to his father. And then he said to him, "My father, sit up and eat some of my game so that you may give me your blessing." His father Isaac asked him, "Who are you?" "I'm your son," he answered, "your firstborn Esau." And then perhaps verse 33 would be the key verse in this chapter. And Isaac trembled violently and said, "Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? I ate it just before you came, and I blessed him, and indeed he will be blessed." And when Isaac heard his father's words, he burst out with a loud and bitter cry, and he said to his father, "Bless me, me too, my father." But he said, "Your brother came and deceitfully took your blessing." You see, Isaac's seeing the light here. And Esau said, this is verse 36, "Isn't he rightly named Jacob? He has deceived me these two times. He took my birthright, and now he's taken my blessing." Then he asked, "Haven't you reserved any blessing for me?" And Isaac answered Esau, "I have made him lord over you and have made all his relatives his servants, and I have sustained him with grain and new wine. So what can I possibly do for you, my son?" And Esau said to his father, "Do you have only one blessing, my father? Bless me too, my father." Then Esau wept aloud. And his father Isaac answered him, and this is what Isaac said, "Your dwelling will be away from earth's richness, away from the dew of heaven above. You will live by the sword, and you will serve your brother. When you grow restless, you will throw his yoke from your neck." And so what we find here is Isaac's folly. He did the right thing, but he thought he was doing something altogether different, and only God in heaven had spared him. Now, we've talked about Isaac's future and Isaac's folly, but finally and quickly, I want us to think a little bit about Isaac's faith. Isaac did see faith, only after he had almost made a big mistake. Look again in verse 33. Isaac trembled violently, and he said, "Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? And I ate it just before you came, and I blessed him. Indeed, he will be blessed." When we think about Isaac's faith, first of all, I want you to see the realization of the will of God. Isaac realized that the will of God had almost been missed in what he had just done. Isaac realized that he had almost made a tragic mistake. He trembled violently. That didn't mean he was angry. That means he was so shaken with fear of how it almost blown God's will. But not only do I want you to see a realization of the will of God, but I want you to see a recognition of the will of God. Look again in verse 33. Isaac said to Esau, I blessed him, meaning Jacob, and indeed he will be blessed. Once Isaac saw his mistake, he didn't back up. He had faith to push on. And he recognized that the will of God was not that Esau receive the blessing, but that Jacob receive the blessing. And he said to Esau, no, I have given the blessing to Jacob, and indeed Jacob will be blessed. But as we think about Isaac's faith, not only consider with me the realization of the will of God and the recognition of the will of God, but also I want you to see his reliance upon the will of God. Look in chapter 28, verse 1 and 3 and 4. So Isaac called for Jacob, and he blessed him, and he commanded him, do not marry a Canaanite woman. Look down in verse 3. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and increase your numbers until you become a community of people. May he give you and your descendants the blessing of Abraham so that you may take possession of the land where you now live as an alien, the land God gave to Abraham. Here's old Isaac. He finally realizes what God's purpose is, what God's plan is to use Jacob and not Esau. He recognizes the will of God and he says, I'm not going to back up. I've given my blessing. I stand by that. And he just continues to stand upon and rely upon the purpose and plan of God in this situation. You see, whatever else you and I ought to do in life, we ought to love the will of God. We ought not to fight it. We need to be resistant toward it. The will of God is good for us. And I want you to understand that God wants for you what you would want for yourself if you had enough sense to want it. We don't have to be afraid of the will of God. God wants for me and God wants for you what you and I would want for ourselves if we had enough sense to want it. God's wisdom is so much greater than ours. The great goal of the Christian life is to love the will of God, to seek the will of God, and to do the will of God. When you feel like it. And when you don't feel like it. In season and out season. When things are going your way and when nothing's going your way. Just to fix your gaze on Jesus. You take it a day at a time, a step at a time, walking with the Lord into the future. Let's pray together. Now, Father, we do pray in Jesus' name, if you'll take your word, which has been sown in our hearts, and just bring it to fruition, that it might produce a harvest of blessing and righteousness and obedience and life. Father, I pray as we stand to sing our hymn of appeal, it'll be someone who needs to trust Jesus. Today, he or she will say yes. Yes to the love and grace of God in Jesus Christ. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, we're going to stand and sing our hymn of invitation. If you need to receive Christ, we invite you to respond and be saved today. If you've trusted the Lord, but you've never publicly followed him in believer's baptism, you know you ought to do that. We invite you to respond. Maybe a student or a couple or a family or whatever. The Spirit of God's put in your heart to move your membership and be a part of our Lakeview Church family. We invite you to come. We'll stand now and sing. Come while we stand.